Okay, Philippians 4, starting at verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice! Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you're doing well. This is our fourth week looking at our vision. And in many ways, it's really God's vision. And then we're working out what it means for us as a church here at Stanhope. You could sum it up in the line, sharing the new life of Jesus with the world. Or as I've spoken to a number of you and been in life group, the line that Jesus says, making disciples of all nations, that keeps coming up as well. But that is what we're about. Disciples making disciples. That is us. That is who we want to be. We've been looking at three purposes for our church. So the three C's: connecting, cultivating, celebrating, connecting people to Jesus, cultivating faith in Jesus, and celebrating life with Jesus. Now, what does that tell you? It's all about Jesus. For us as a people, for us as a church, it is about Jesus. But why? Well, I've got to ask the question, why? It's all well and good to have purposes, but why are we on about these things? I think it really comes down to one thing, because God is to be worshipped. This is God's world. He is to be worshipped because He is God. He has created us to know Him, to be His people, and He's made that possible by sending His Son into the world, who died for us so that we can be forgiven and have life with God. Our life is about worshipping Him, giving Him the due, the honour that He deserves because He is God. So the third purpose that we have is this idea of celebrating life with Jesus. This relationship that we have with God, we're going to look at what it means to be living that life. It's really another way of saying living that life of worship, where we do honour God and enjoy the relationship that He has made possible for us. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Celebrating life with Jesus. We do it when we gather together, like we're doing now on a Sunday morning, and serve together, love one another. But it's an all of week thing, an all of life thing, where we are to worship God with our life. Another way to think of celebrate is rejoice. And Philippians that we're focusing on in this series is full of that, talking about the joy that Paul has, how he rejoices in the Lord and wants that to be true for all God's people as well. It very much speaks of the experience of joy. I read this week that is the birthright of every Christian. That includes Anglicans. To know God and to have joy in our relationship with Him. We've just read Philippians 4, so it would be really helpful to have Philippians open in front of you, your Bible or your screen. Paul says there, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And I'll say it again, rejoice. It's right through Philippians though. I'm going to run through. You'll see where it is. So in 1:4, Paul prays with joy because of their partnership in the gospel. In 1:18, Paul rejoices that Christ is preached, the gospel is advancing. In 1:25, Paul is concerned for their progress and joy in the faith. In 2:2, Paul's joy is complete with them being like-minded. 2:17 and 18, Paul rejoices even when it's hard, and he calls them, he's in prison, remember, and he calls them to do so as well. 2:29, then we have Epaphroditus, and Paul calls upon the Philippians to welcome him with joy. 3:1, you've got the command there to rejoice in the Lord. 4:1, the Philippians, Paul says they are his joy and crown. 4:4, they're told to rejoice in the Lord. And then in 4:10, we read there that Paul himself rejoices in the Lord. You see how it's right throughout this letter, this idea of having joy, rejoicing in the Lord. That's the key thing. That the object is the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. We are in relationship with God, so this isn't just a be joyful, it's in the Lord, because of who we are in Christ. So why? Well, I've just started to say, it's because of who we are in Christ. What is it about Jesus that gives us reason to rejoice? The first reason has to be that the gospel itself, the good news of Jesus and what God has done for each one of us in His Son. We saw this last week. We looked at the good news of the gospel. If you have a look in chapter 3, verse 7, Paul says there, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss, compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. So we are right with God, not because of who we are or what we do, but only because of Christ and us believing in him and having faith in him, in who he is and what he has done for us. And this just fills Paul with joy, knowing it's not all about him and what he does, but God accepts him because of what God's Son Jesus has done for him. So Paul knows now that he is accepted. And even though he doesn't deserve it, even though he's not holy, even though he is a sinner, because of Jesus, God the Father accepts him. And so Paul, he's just full of joy. Paul was one religious man, but he came to see that it wasn't about all his religious acts. All about Jesus. And Paul rejoices because of this. And it means that Paul has purpose in his life, which has been given to him by God. And we saw this last week as well in verse 12. It says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Jesus has put his hand on Paul's life, not only as his saviour from sin, but also to be his master and guide right throughout life. So that means Paul can then live with purpose, a purpose that is given to him by God. And that gives him a focus as he goes about his life. And he calls the Philippians to do so as well, to live with this purpose that God has given us. And really that the same applies for us. I want to read to you a few lines from Wallace Benn, who puts it better than I can. He says about this, the Christian faith is about a relationship with God's Son, a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, where I get to know the living God through his Son. I will get to know him better through life's ups and downs as I learn to trust him and realize that he's put his hand upon my life for a purpose. And one day I'll see him face to face and get to know him even better. You see, it is all about knowing Christ. It is all about being centered on him. And then this last line. Joy for a Christian is focusing on Christ and walking with Christ and enjoying all that he has won for us, all that he is doing for us, and all that he will do for us. We are reason to have joy because we have Christ. So Christ is the one who gives us this joy and enables us to live this way with this relationship that we have with God. So to celebrate life with Jesus is to enjoy life with Jesus. Now there can be some things, I think, that stop us from experiencing this joy in our life. And chapter 4, I believe, speaks of some of these. The first is relationships with other believers, letting things get between us. So you can see it in verses 2 and 3. You've got Euodia and Syntyche. They have a disagreement of some kind. Seems they're paying to themselves and to one another. Now, I don't know what they've said, what has happened, what this disagreement is. But Paul reminds them that they're fellow believers. They're fellow workers as well. They've been by his side together, serving in the Lord. And their names are in the book of life. So Paul gets them to see that whatever disagreement they've had, to try to see who they are, they're I was going to say brothers and sisters in Christ. They're sisters in Christ. Their names are in the book of life. I don't know if you can imagine two women having a disagreement. There's no joy in that, right? For them and for everyone else. Now maybe something has come between you and another person here. Sort it out. Isn't that what Paul would say? Don't let it fester away. Forgive. And maybe be the bigger person and forgive them. Make the first move. Get over it and move on. You know, sisters in Christ. Forgive. Don't let some disagreement get in the way of what we have together in the Lord. Paul speaks of another thing that can rob us of joy, and that is worry. Are you a person who worries about things and stresses and is anxious? Paul says, from verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This isn't just a don't worry, be happy sentiment that Paul is speaking of here. No, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. So you don't need to worry. You can let Jesus worry for you. Whatever it is that you are anxious about, hand it on to Jesus. Hand it on to God. Know that He is with you. He is near. His Spirit is ever present with you. So instead of worry, you can be freed from that, give it to Jesus, and you can continue on. And you can rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. As a quote from William Perkins, which will come up here, written a few years ago, "When thou first openest thy eyes in a morning, pray to God and give Him thanks heartily. God shall then have His honour, and thy heart shall be the better for it the whole day following." Let the first thing in your day be praise to God. Right? Otherwise, you might just look in the mirror and get depressed. But we got reason to praise God. Right? Whatever is going on in our life, and whatever we might be anxious and losing sleep over, if you're trusting Jesus, you are a child of God. You are part of His family. You have God as your heavenly Father. So, no, every day when you get up, you belong in His family. He's there. He knows what is happening. He wants us to pray to Him. Hand it over to Him and praise Him. Rejoice that your Heavenly Father is there and that He cares for you. The Year 7 boy at school. But he's got an older brother. So he doesn't have to worry about anything because he's got an older brother and he can sort anything out. We're a heavenly Father who loves us dearly. He's there for us. He knows what is happening in your life. So come to Him. Stop worrying. In fact, see there, it says, "And as you present your request to God, do so with thanksgiving." May we do this. Pray with thanksgiving. Give your requests to God. Paul then turns to the battle of the mind. Experiencing joy in the Lord, it will come from thinking about the right things, good things. Have a look there in verse 8. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now this can be a big one for many people, that the battle of the mind can be very controlling. But by filling our mind with what is good, good in the Lord, then that will help us to experience joy in the Lord. Now this has got to be true for Paul, right? We looked at last week, and his desire, that strong desire to know Christ more and more, and then experiencing joy in Christ. So a few of us picked this up in life group during the week, that correlation there is between knowing God, obeying Him, and then enjoying Him as a result of that. How they work together in knowing, obeying, and enjoying. Well, last point, I called this one the joy of giving. But it could be that the joy of sharing in the gospel. Paul says from verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. These Philippians, they've supported Paul, shared in his troubles, shared with him materially and financially. And Paul rejoices in that. You know, the joy of giving, and that goes both ways, doesn't it? You got the joy of the giver, it's good to give, but the joy of being on the receiving end as well. So much of Paul's joy comes from people in the Lord. And here it is from them sharing in his gospel work, taking a real interest in him and what he's doing, and partnering with him and giving to that work. And it's mutual, and then you see his joy as they are part of this and as they progress in the faith as well. I've got a mate in Uganda who I met a number of years ago when I was over there. Now, compared to me, compared to us, he doesn't have much. So it's been a joy for me to be able to support him in some small way. In the gospel work that he is doing. And I know it's a joy for him to receive and to have that partnership in the gospel together. Have a look at what Paul says from verse 18. He says, I've received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So the joy of giving and receiving. We have so much. God has given us so much in Christ and materially. And it says here, and we know it to be true, he will meet all our needs. The glorious riches in Christ Jesus. A few verses earlier, Paul has spoken about the secret of contentment. Whether he has much or little doesn't really matter. He has Christ, so he can trust God and he can rejoice in the Lord. Because whatever he has Christ, so he can rejoice. Now we've just heard this morning, you might have heard during the week, about the tingles. And their need to come home early. Laura's just read their letter and spoken about some of the hardships they have faced over there. Yet despite all these things, they are still able to rejoice in the Lord. So while there have been some hardships for them, what is still true? God's love for them is still true. They know that Christ has still died for them, that Christ is alive. They have relationship with God. They're still part of his family. So yes, I'm sure they're disappointed that they are coming home earlier, that accommodation and visas and things hasn't all worked out at the moment. But they're still able to rejoice in the Lord. Now, some of you might be able to be sharing with them in the gospel work that they've done the last 2 years. As you've received their prayer letters, as you've prayed, maybe you're one of the people who gave money so that they could have a car over there. Maybe for you it's not the Tingles, maybe it's the Hughes in Fiji or the Horns in Austria, that you share with them in gospel partnership by praying for them and giving, supporting them. And it's what we do here as a church as well. As we share together in the gospel work that God is doing here at Stanhope and beyond in this area. As we do that, as we meet, as we serve, we want it to be a joy. I don't want it to be like a job, but oh, I'm on this again. As we come and serve, we want it to be a joy. We all come here for the same reason. It is Jesus that brings us together. All saved by the blood of Jesus, or needing his salvation. So we have reason to rejoice. Whatever else is going on in our life, we are brothers and sisters together in Christ. So we can express that in our life. It is good and right to express that in our life. So as we serve, as we come here, and not just come, but get involved, we do that so that more people can connect with Jesus, can cultivate, can grow in their faith, and that together we can rejoice and celebrate what we have with Jesus. Now, lots of people are doing a lot. Maybe some people need to do less and others need to do more. But together, compelled by the gospel, we want to be meeting and loving, serving one another. I want us to be a people who love being Christians. Alright, God has saved us. He's given us life. May we love that. May we enjoy Christ and one another. And I want us to be a people who love coming to church to meet with God and with one another. Because of Christ. He must be our focus. As we've looked at each purpose, I've asked you to commit to something. Something that will help you to be able to do these things. So for this one, I would love you to commit to coming to church and being actively involved. I've loved seeing this to be true for so many of you this year. And seeing so many just take initiatives and want to serve and do things, all for the sake of other people and for Christ. In your handout, I don't have a copy on me, but you'll see there the page, Opportunities to Serve. Thank you. So can I encourage you, if you haven't already, to have a little read of this and to fill it out. Not every box, but whatever box there applies to you as you think about your place here and how you can be involved and serve. So there's lots of options there. Fill it out. You can drop it in the collection container or take it home, think about it, and give it to us next week, or drop it in the container. That could be a helpful way, just thinking about your place, your role here. So I leave that with you. Another area for us to be thinking about is our giving financially, tithing. I want everyone here who calls this their church to be committed to giving and to be pleased to give, for that to be something that you want to do. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that he has gone to the cross, that he has dealt with sin. And thank you that he is victorious, that you raised him to life again. You exalted him. And he rules with you at your right hand. And he is coming back again. Father, thank you that we are yours. We belong to you. We are your people. You have given us your spirit so that we can know you and be transformed to be more and more like your Son. Father, we pray that you will show us Christ. Show us more and more of your Son, that we know him more and more. That we look forward to that day when we will be with you and all your people.